You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Cricket Unfiltered Live. Good evening, Paul. How are you?
G'day, Menners. Very good. What a dream evening. We've had two dream games in a row now. Just there was a little bit of stress. I was on edge throughout much of the game, especially a couple of times when the Windies were getting away a little bit. But I think that fades in the memory, and I'm going to look back on it as a very calm evening.
Oh, good to hear. It was nice they managed to fit in some cricket around the tributes for Chris Gayle and Dwayne Bravo. There was a World Cup going on. It seemed like the commentators and the West Indies team had forgot that. It seemed like it was all of a sudden like an Alan Border tribute match at the Gabba back in the day with Fatty Vaughton in the outfield. It was very strange.
I just felt for the South African fans watching it, like thinking, you know, the West Indies are almost taking this like a bit of a party now, thinking any danger of you guys trying to restrict the Australians. Actually, Gayle's over wasn't too bad. The Aussies didn't get too many runs off it. So, yes, it was a little bit weird at the end how there was a bit of a party atmosphere when Gayle got Mitchell Marsh out right at the end. He embraced Mitchell Marsh as though Marsh was part of the dismissal. It was a little bit amusing.
So I gather Mitch Marsh and Gayle had played together when Gayle played in Western Australia and T20 stuff, so they probably know each other. But didn't look like Mitch Marsh was too happy. But look, let's get into it.
Manners,
yeah. Oh yeah,
it was
yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't as happy as Gayle was. Look,
that's true. He wasn't as happy as Gayle was.
what a win for Australia. They're marching towards the semi-finals now. We'll talk about the scenario that's playing out, but we're recording this between the two games. So if you're listening on the podcast feed, you might know whether Australia are in the semi-finals, but you really couldn't ask for a better performance. They came up against a decent West Indies side and win by 8 wickets with 22 balls remaining, and now South Africa have to win by 57 runs or in 12.3 overs. So Australia look have a really good chance now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this live or before that game, then you're in the same boat as us, and not 100% certain that Australia is going to make it, but 99%. For those of you listening later on, yep, fantastic. Australia into the semi-finals or, oh my God, I can't believe South Africa managed to do that.
And if you're a South African fan and you've won by 57 runs or in 12 overs, you can listen to this later and just giggle yes. To your heart's content.
Exactly.
But I guess let's look at tonight's game. We'll start with the bowling performance. Australia wins the toss. Finchie did something right, sends in the Windies, and they get off to a pretty quick start. Gayle hits two sixes, they hit 20 off the first over. Evan Lewis opened up, but then Cummins gets Gayle
off,
for 15.
No, it was off the second over they hit the 20.
Was it the second over?
Yeah.
Stark opened up, you're right, and then yeah, Hazelwood got hit for 20, yeah. And then Cummins gets Gayle for 15, and then the over after Hazelwood gets 2 wickets. He gets Nicholas Poran for 4 and Roston Chase for a duck. And the Windies sort of crashed to 3 for 35. And at that point, there was always a worry the West Indies would be sort of knocked over for a very cheap score.
Do you know what they call that in India when they get a wicket and then a dot and then a wicket?
What's that?
Wow. Because you're on the screen, W-O-W. So it was a wow situation from Josh Hazelwood.
He's had a lot of wow situations in T20 cricket lately.
For those of you listening on the stream, I was expecting a warm grin from Menes at that little subtle attempted humour at 1 in the morning, and Menes gave me nothing. It wasn't that funny, I suppose.
It is late. And then the Windies sort of, they played pretty well to get to 7 for 157. Kieran Pollard, 44 off 31. Shimron Hetmeyer, 27 off 28. Andre Russell, 18 off 7. What did you think of Australia's bowlers?
Pretty good. There was just those 2 periods, that second over where Hazelwood got smashed, where it looked a little bit concerning. And then I think it was from memory around about the 16th and 17th overs where it looked as though Pollard was going to be able to hoist them to a total that was going to be, 157 was okay. But if they'd been able to get to 170 or thereabouts, then it would have been obviously more than okay. But Cummins bowled a pretty good over in the 19th, and it looked like they were going to get even less. And then the last 2 balls of the innings, I don't know how many runs Russell had scored in the tournament leading up to that, about 5. And he got 12 runs. He's only 2 sixes of the tournament off the last 2 balls. So that was a slightly disappointing. And I always felt that we were going to win. I thought that the pitch looked conducive enough to good scoring and that Australia should win. But those first couple of overs, that was very interesting that the Hussain bowled fantastically well. He's got that arm ball, I suppose that you call it. It's a vicious inswinger. And Australia kind of a little bit lucky not to lose a few wickets in those first couple of overs.
Yeah, Warner was outstanding. Just wrapping up the bowling figures, Josh Hazelwood, 4 for 39. He's been the standout bowler for Australia, I think, or the standout fast bowler for Australia this tournament. But then Adam Zampa, 4 overs, 1 for 20. He's putting together an impressive string of performances in this tournament. He's now the leading wicket taker. He kept them quiet in those middle overs, and, that kept the West Indies below 160 and gave Australia a really good chance to chase.
Yeah, and what a chase it was. That have you got more bowling figures to go? Sorry, I'm a bit
no, it's a bowling figures. That's it.
Yeah, look, I think that I've never gone off Warner. A lot of people have, so I'm feeling quite vindicated in that regard. It was great to see him playing. I think it was Shane Watson in commentary said when he's playing control with a controlled aggression and sort of that check drive, it's fantastic to watch him. And Mitchell Marsh, when he came out to bat, I said to him, mate, you've never really delivered for me in a game that really matters. Tonight's the night. And he did. So my love affair with Mitch Marsh, which began with 10 years without much love, is really ramping up. It was a wonderful partnership, over 100. And, they just it was just a consummate performance.
I agree. And 158 targets, a tricky little target, because if you get bogged down for a few overs, you can make it a little bit more difficult for yourself. But Warner was in such good form and was hitting boundaries so consistently, it never happened. So Warner finishes 89 not out of 56 balls with 4 sixes and 9 fours. Aaron Finch was out for 9. He didn't look great again in that innings. Looked very scratchy. And then Mitchell Marsh, 53 off 32, got out with the scores level. But the big partnership was Mitch Marsh and Warner. They put on 124, and that was a match-winning partnership. But, yeah, great stuff. And, an all-round very comprehensive win.
Yeah, and also, once again, with the exception, I think, of Zampa, who dropped a tough caught and bowled, the Australian fielding was really good. Smith took a really good catch. Warner took a really good catch. Warner stopped one on the boundary that I don't think anyone else in the world would have stopped. I'd love if you could have put Jadeja, split-screened him on there. He would have got within a metre of it. Warner's such a better fielder than Jadeja. It irritates me how Jadeja's... He's a good fielder, but he's overrated. Here am I. Look, Australia's had a wonderful win, and for some reason I am starting to be grumpy about Jadeja being an overrated fielder. Gosh, I've got to lighten up.
It is late. yeah, so now Australia have their fate. They put their destiny in their own hands, really, by winning now. They don't have to rely on England beating South Africa. Now, if South Africa thrash England, they deserve actually to go to the semis ahead of us. So, you know, Australia can't really complain from now on. They did their best. I have to say, Paul, you know, for someone that has not been been on board with this team, I'm starting to believe, you know, perhaps this team can go all the way and lift the World Cup. If Australia gets through, Pakistan's a good matchup, and then you never know what can happen on finals day.
Yeah, don't forget, I mean, if England lose to South Africa and they don't lose by enough to we can't get past England, can we? No, I'm going
no, because they're like on three. They're like miles ahead.
That's what they should also have, is the other number of how much South Africa would have to beat England by to actually knock England out, and rather than knocking Australia out. That would be quite interesting. But, I still think it's going to be very interesting if we do play, say, Pakistan in the semifinals. This roller coaster ride that the fans seem to be on could go the wrong way very quickly. Like we started the tournament on a bit of a sort of a low, and then those early games gave a bit of a high. Then everyone crashed after the England game, although I was, you must admit, fairly calm. Now you're on the high.
I'm on the high. I'm starting to believe. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I still think there's a few problems, but I like the 7-4 structure. Adam Zampa has been so impressive. I wasn't sure he could carry the team as the sole spinner, but he has. Josh Hazlewood with the new ball has been excellent. Stark's shown glimpses of being more destructive. And Cummins, although, you know, wasn't great. Well, actually, he was okay today. Cummins figures? One for 37. So not flash, but pretty good. Now, let's should
good
we
question
take...
from well, I was going to say, I got a question from Ray PMB9. Hi, Menes. Would you replace Cummins with Richardson and improve your death bowling? It's a good question, because Cummins, as much as he's a wonderful bowler, he just hasn't looked as good as the others this tournament. He does bat well. He's played a few big hits. I don't know the answer to that one. I'd give it some thought. I really don't know.
Well, lucky you're not a selector. I would give it some thought and say no. I think you've come this far into the tournament with the big three. Don't change it. Cummins is a big game player. He's the sort of bloke that can sort of be a bit quiet, and then come semi-final time, he takes 4 for 20. So there's no way I would be dropping Pat Cummins for the semi-final. That's crazy stuff, Ray. Crazy.
No, I think I might not replace him with Richardson, though. Maybe I'd replace him with Swepson.
All right, can I kick you off the stream? Is that allowed? all right, here's Jose. Jose's firing a few at us. So if you are watching on Twitter, if you go across to our YouTube page, the links are on the link tree above. You can actually fire us questions. Subscribe. And if you subscribe to us on YouTube, whenever we go live, you get a little bell. So you get a little notification. So how good is that? You'll never miss one of these outstanding broadcast. All right, Jose, irrespective of the result, death over bowling was poor today, 57 in the last five overs. I don't see that as a problem. The West Indies, the one strength they have is smashing in the last five overs, so wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, although, you know, I can see where he's coming from. That's where, I suppose, it feeds into the whole specialist notion of someone like Richardson coming in and doing the job. I should mention that six, that the second last ball of the innings, Russell six, 111 meters. That's the biggest six I've seen in a long, long time.
Did you see the 100 times they showed Chris Gayle hitting Brett Lee out of the park about 13 years ago, 12 years ago?
As I often do, I started this game 40 minutes delayed, and just fast forwarded between each ball. So I was just getting it like a machine gun. It's fantastic for entertainment. The only disadvantage is you don't remember a single ball of the entire match.
Yeah, I guess it is a marriage saving tool, though.
I'll tell you what's not a marriage saving tool: speaking at the top of your voice at 12:45 in the morning. Like we're doing now.
I'm in my cupboard. Well, here we go. Mel T, how many is he recording in a cupboard? I'm not really in a cupboard. I'm in a laundry. It looks like a cupboard. It's got cupboard vibes, but actually it's pretty well sound. It's pretty well insulated, so the sound stays here. Jose, we'll just fire through all your questions. England win the toss and bowl. SA need to win by 61 runs to go through. Very tough ask. But, Paul, you have to say it's not impossible, but you just would be very surprised if England could do it. I mean, South Africa. Right.
Yeah, it's not impossible because, if South Africa happened to have a day out with the bat, get 200, and England, attempting to get their blow up and get themselves bowled out for 130, it could happen, but it's very, very unlikely.
Yeah, and certainly none of the teams will be fearing Australia. So anyone who's going to say, oh, England might want to,
I don't
knock
agree.
Australia
I
out.
They're not going to, obviously, they're not going to throw it. But I think some of the teams would be a little bit concerned about Australia. I think if you gave most teams the choice, who would you rather play in the semi-final, South Africa or Australia, they'd pick South Africa.
Hmm. Now, where's your mama? Someone's writing a question. It wasn't just people listening on the audio. We said, why did Menas just say, where's your mama? That's the person's name. As Australia will face Pakistan in the semis, how do you suggest they counter the opening spell from Shaheen Shah Afridi? What do you think, Paul?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have visions of stumps flying. And it could be Aaron Finch on his way back. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Finch is gone. Finch is gone. I mean, they should just start one for him, not even bother sending him out.
I have a reflex to that, and I just always say we should have a pinch hitter, open up with Stark and Cummins. Slog it from the start.
Yeah, I think sort of the same as Stark and with a lot of these bowlers, the swing goes out really quickly. So
yeah,
you just got to get through those first three or four overs and then the ball starts to go a lot
think that's
straighter.
The thing. You got to do the opposite of what McCullum did in the final of the World Cup where he just went advancing and lost his mind a little bit. That those first nine balls or so could be crucial. Aiden R, looking good, fellas. That's nice to hear. I don't know if I agree, but it's nice to hear.
And then Jose just firing them through at a machine gun rate. What is your plan to beat England if Australia win the semi-final and face England in the final? What is my plan or what is Australia's plan?
I think they've got to be fearless and just say let's match the way that England play. And if we bat, the big one would be win the toss and bowl because it would be. It's going to be a night game in Dubai, so bowling first. That might be enough. It might come down to the toss.
Look, it's a good question because I want to segue now, Paul. I'm not sure if you're aware, but a lot of the England test squad has arrived in Australia and they've started their quarantine up in Queensland. And I've been thinking that I would like to – I'm going to undertake to – it's really hard for me to say this. But, normally Australia has this impression that when the English come here, the Aussie media is mean to them and, always trying to fight another war off the pitch. And look, I think we should go the other way. I think we should be really hospitable and be nice to the English tourists and be welcoming and make them have a great time in Australia because they've come all this way after playing nonstop cricket for 18 months. I think we should just be lovely, warm hosts rather than this sort of rude, abrasive Australians that we normally are.
Yeah, but it's just, I presume you're being funny and well done. But the problem
No,
is...
I think we should be nice to them.
But it's the media needs to sell newspapers. The traditional media is dying. No one's buying papers. They know that if you write an article about, Ben Stokes has just arrived, let's have a detailed analysis of his cover drive.
So what if you push someone? That was a long time ago. He's won a World Cup since then. It was Headingley.
They need to sell papers, and the only way you sell papers is with controversy and anger and all of that sort of stuff, and that's the way it is. So they don't write it because they're parochial towards Australia. They write it because their editor is saying, write something so people buy the damn paper this time.
You don't think people would buy papers in Australia of us being nice to the Poms? Well, at least we can do it on the podcast. you know, we can be more hospitable.
You could. I'm always nice to them. Well, for a start, you could stop calling them Poms. I think that that's that'd be a good little resolution for you, just to start calling them.
I'm also angling for Vaughn's job with Tuffers. I want it to be Menas and Tuffers next and week while he's in on suspension.
Oh dear.
Well, we've got some questions here. Let's bring him in and then we'll go and watch England, South Africa. Pranto Biswas, if Smudge doesn't bat at number three, do you see any reason we hide him in our 11? Also, what has Wadey done to keep Josh Inglis in the shed?
I think that today showed perfectly how Smith can be, that he slid down the order, didn't get a bat, and that's fantastic. But I'll tell you what, if Marsh had gone out and got out straight away and then Warner had got out and we're suddenly three or four for not many, having Smith coming out then, that would have been the perfect person for the job. And I think he's still got a role to play in that regard, that it's not always, you're not always looking to get 200. And when you're looking to get 150 on a difficult wicket, there's no other Australian I'd rather in the side than Smith. Plus, he took a very good catch, which doesn't mean much, but he's a bloody good player. He's always in my side.
Yep, agree.
and I agree with Pranto. I would have picked Inglis ahead of Wade, but I think Wade's had a pretty good tournament so far. He hasn't done much wrong.
No, and I think the issue with Inglis is he it's not that he left his run a bit late, but he probably came into the side a bit late, into the squad generally, to sort of jump over Wade at the last minute and get the keeping job. It would have needed something to happen, either Wade to go through a real form dip or an injury. But I'd love to see Inglis as soon as possible. Where's your mum? I don't think, well, what do you think about that question? Do you think the difference simply might be the opening spell from the respective sides?
Because Australia and Pakistan have similar batting lineups. Yeah, I don't know. I think, sadly, to harp on about it, I think it'll be it'll be very interesting as to who has to bat first. Again, it's going to be a night game, the semi-final. And if it's similar to what we've seen, the pitch will have some spice in it early on. And that is going to make Shaheen Shahar Afridi very difficult for the Australians to face. Who else is pretty good? Ralph is pretty good. And by the time of the second innings, it seems as though as the dew comes in, it doesn't mean the ball's impossible to grip. It's just that the ball then comes onto the bat a little bit more easily and the wicket has lost some of its spice. So again, my money's going to be on whoever wins the toss, which is a sad, disappointing outcome for the way that the tournament is.
Yeah, perhaps. I can see Australia's fast bowlers knocking over Pakistan for a cheap score quite easily. I can see the top order succumbing to Hazelwood and Stark and Cummins in form. I think the performance of Warner will be vital in the semi-final. Finch doesn't look in great form, but if Warner can get us off to a good start, we saw in this match, it just makes it so much easier for the guys coming in, having him belting boundaries at the other end. Anything you want to add Scott before? Scott Martin.
I would have dropped Warner today, so don't ask me. I think a lot of people would have, Scott, but I was sticking solid with him. I mean, get a lot of things wrong, but that's one I'm proud to say I got right. And Menas, to your point that you could see Australia knocking Pakistan over cheaply, that's kind of, that would happen in the World Cup final in 99. I could certainly see it happening. On the flip side, what was it, the 2011 World Cup? We lost a game to Pakistan that ended our streak. What I could see.
I don't know if you remember in the 2010 T20 World Cup or whatever it was called then, we played Pakistan in the semi-final and Mike Hussey hit like 60 off 20 balls to get us through to the final against England, and then England beat us quite convincingly. But it was that Hussey innings against Pakistan that everyone remembers from Australia.
It's the only reason that I kind of haven't watched that much more is that we ended up losing the final and it fell away a little bit. But yeah, that was one of the most remarkable wins I've ever seen. We were absolutely no chance and he played amazingly well. What I could see happen, if I'm going to be on a pessimistic side, is Australia batting first, grinding out a really tough 150, and then Pakistan just blowing us away as the pitch eases up. I'd hate to see that, but may well happen.
All righty. Well, it's about game time for South Africa and England. So we're going to end this live broadcast. Thanks everybody for watching. If Australia does crash out, we'll definitely go live tomorrow because I will be filthy at that point. So it'll be fun to watch. But yeah, thanks everyone for watching. A lot of people tuned in. So thank you, Paul. Any final words? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I might as well make it something to laugh at if we go wrong. Australia have qualified for the semi-finals of the World Cup. Can't wait for them to play Pakistan in the semi-finals.
All right, everyone. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the rest of the big day and catch up soon.
Bye.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.